Thursday and Friday were horrible days. I'm not going to try and downplay how difficult they were. For many people in our state, for many people in our church, for those who are LGBTQIA+, or friends, or family, or allies of the LGBTQ+ community, what happened at the Capitol on Thursday, when both houses of the state legislature fast-tracked through and voted on a bill that stripped civil right protections from transgender persons, was a horrible travesty of justice. It was injustice. It was a betrayal of the public trust. It was the state government saying to transgendered persons and to those who love and care for them that they are not due equal protection under the law. And before you think I'm exaggerating, now that the governor has signed the bill, when it goes into effect, it will suddenly become legal for transgendered persons to be denied fair and equal treatment in commerce and civil matters, simply and solely because they are trans, or suspected of being trans. They can be denied access to credit, access to housing, access to medical care, access to employment. An HOA will be able to put into their policies a prohibition against transgendered persons buying a house in their neighborhood. A restaurant could refuse to seat them for dinner because they either appear to be or actually are transgender. And there will be nothing they can do about it. Such discrimination against that group will be legal in the state of Iowa. Remember those days 60 years ago when African Americans were denied access to lunch counters at drugstores, especially across the southern United States? That's where we are. We're there again, but for transgendered persons. And before anyone thinks that this is a minor or distant problem, a problem for a tiny minority that is far from us, don't forget that we have quite a few LGBTQ+ people in this congregation, and one is standing right here, right now, in front of you in this pulpit. For us, this action telegraphs a message of impending jeopardy on a whole list of civil rights that have been recognized but can now just be easily ripped away by a tyranny of a supposed majority. And even more importantly, we have trans siblings here today in our congregation serving in ministry with us and for whom we are deeply, deeply grateful. Thursday, when that bill passed, and Friday, when it was signed, were terrible days. And yes, in times of extraordinary stress, personally, nationally, and globally, it is difficult to see clearly. Our emotions can cloud our vision. Frustration, anger, fear, exhaustion. That's where we are right now. Thursday was a very difficult and emotional day, and I'm still exhausted from it. Kate and I were at the Capitol building in the rotunda in a sea of nearly 3,000 people present to testify before committees, present to demonstrate against the passage of this bill. At one point, after having stood in the rotunda there in the very front, arm in arm with fellow clergy and religious leaders of our community standing there to be a buffer and a calm presence of God in that place, I took a moment off to go to the bathroom, and then I went up to the second floor of the rotunda and sat down to collect my thoughts, to recollect my wits, to calm my racing heart. And I was only there for a few moments when someone sat down next to me and began talking to me. I was dressed with a clerical collar and this rainbow stole. And apparently they thought I would be safe to speak with. They needed a pastoral ear. The emotions were running high. And while I'm good at compartmentalizing things and keeping calm, I was having trouble at that moment. After we talked for a while, and then after we stood up, this dear, hurting, frightened soul turned to me and embraced me. And as they embraced me, they cried, "Pastor, I know I'm supposed to love my enemies, but right now I don't want to be gracious. I'm too scared. I want to scream and shout and throw things." And in that moment, I understood that. And I sympathized. And I even shared that surging emotional need. But as I said then, that's not the way. Now more than ever, people need to see Jesus clearly through us. Yes, Jesus flipped the tables of the money changers in the temple, and so must we. Yes, Jesus spoke the truth to power and confronted the evil of this world, and so must we. Yes, Jesus offered grace and love to all, and even prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And so must we. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, a time when we pause to see in Christ the love of God made present among us. Today is Christ Trans Day. How incredibly appropriate is that? In the story, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up a mountain for some time of prayer and reflection. In their exhaustion, they almost miss what happened. They're falling asleep. But when they finally wake up, they see Jesus fluorescing with God's glory. The presence of Moses and Elijah there in the story signifies that in Christ, we have the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus is the very center, the very apex of God's revelation to us. Peter's reaction, "Let's build some tents and stay here," reflects their understanding of this as being the focal point of time and their desire to hold on to it, to hold on to this moment rather than leave. It's then that God's voice interrupts them and us, saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And that's what we have to do. Even in the midst of difficult times, even in the midst of pain and fear and anger and frustration, we have to see and listen to Jesus. Seeing Jesus clearly means listening to Jesus. Listen to what he says while seeing what he does, how he lives, and how he treats people. Sadly, these days, it can be a challenge to actually listen to Jesus. As I said last week, there are many who claim to be Christian who refuse to listen to Jesus. When it comes to mercy, grace, forgiveness, inclusion, love, they refuse to listen to what Jesus has to say. But we can't afford that right now. So what does Jesus teach us? Let's do a quick recap. Love God. Yes. We're called to love God with all of our heart and our soul and our mind. Jesus identified this as the greatest commandment. And he said that the second was like it. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Okay, that's great. But can we limit who our neighbor is? We have members of our church who live across the street from the Iowa governor. Yes. Our neighbor is sometimes not our buddy, but we can't limit who our neighbor is. And Jesus said we are to love them as ourselves. Well, so loving God and loving neighbor, that's it, right? Well, Jesus also taught us to love our enemies. Now it's really starting to get hard, Jesus, this Christianity stuff. You're starting to meddle with it, aren't you? You mean it's not just about loving God and loving neighbor, but I've got to love my enemy too and pray for those who curse us and seek to do us harm? Yes. Being a Christian is hard. The Christian nationalists, like some of those who voted for that hideous legislation on Thursday, they get to twist and manipulate their Christianity to serve them and their agenda to oppress. Why can't we? Loving God is fine. Loving neighbor is harder, but okay. But loving our enemies? Yeah. But there's more. Jesus also teaches us to turn the other cheek. What if we don't want to? Sorry. That's one of those Jesus things. It's written in red. All the haranguing and browbeating about trans people. Jesus doesn't say squat about any of that, but Jesus says a lot about this. Can we do this and still speak the truth in power, to power, resist evil, injustice, and oppression in every form that presents itself? Can we do those things? Yes, we can. Because Jesus did. Jesus also taught us, be the light of the world, the light of God's love, which fluoresced through Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. We're called to let that light shine through us too, to recognize in ourselves God's transforming love. Seeing Jesus clearly changes how we live and respond to the world around us, and that transformation calls us into action. Just as the disciples had to descend from the mountain into the world of struggle, conflict, and misunderstanding, so must we. We can't stay within the safe refuge behind those red doors. In the comfort of our family, of faith, our chosen family, our friends, and community, we'd love to stay, we'd love to hide out, but we can't. We have to go out and be the light of Christ, transforming the world. We have to go out and be Christ transforming love in a world that desperately needs that love, that light, that grace, that transforming presence. The light of Christ is not meant to be kept in isolation. It's not meant to be hidden, but reflected in our daily lives for others to see. How do others see Jesus through us? It's a challenge in hard times, but by God's grace, we can. It's in how we deal with others while under pressure. Yes, even with those with whom we disagree. It's in our kindness in the face of anger. It's in our refusal to let hatred, theirs or even ours, define us or lead us to hate. We have to be true to our commitment to justice and truth without also becoming what we oppose. And I have to confess, that was very hard for me this week. Last Sunday, I was preaching to myself. This week, I had to live it. Funny how God does that, isn't it? Jesus' words, physician, heal thyself, come to mind. I wasn't angry on Thursday. That's too calm of a word for the emotions I was feeling. In the Southern American vernacular, we have an old Elizabethan word, mad. And there are two versions of that word. There's mad, and then there's mad. I was mad. When both chambers passed the bill, I was mad. Furious is another good word. And it descended like a ton of bricks into a sense of helplessness. But then almost immediately, I had to turn to someone else who was hurting. And that was where I couldn't be helpless anymore. And neither can we. We can't afford the luxury of helplessness. And in Christ, we're not helpless. Indeed, in the face of adversity, pain, and hurt, we must be open to allowing others to see Jesus through us. For otherwise, how will they ever see Jesus? Those who excel in oppressing others in the name of Jesus, they're never going to show Jesus' love to others. The light of his love that fluoresced on that moment of transfiguration, we have to shine to others. It depends upon us. It may be the gift and calling that progressive Christians have in this time. It may be the gift and calling to the church universal that LGBTQ plus Christians, that trans Christians and their allies have for this day and age. Shining the light of God's transformative love for others. The world is full of anger, division, and fear. And sadly, Christians are good at contributing to it. Yes, we are tempted to react in kind, but Jesus calls us to be different, to behave in a different way, a better way, a transfigured way. Last week after my sermon, several of you came up to me and said that it's hard to do this. I don't think I can. I'm going to struggle with it. I'm going to try. And yes, it is hard. But it's the way of Jesus. And it's the way that brings hope and justice, joy, and peace. Christ's transfiguration shows us who Jesus truly is. God's love incarnate among us. Our calling is to reflect that transformative light. Our calling is to be transformed ourselves, so that others might look at us and see an embodiment of God's love. That's a challenge. That's hard. That's difficult. It's not easy. But it's the calling of faith that we have. It's the calling we have to live. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon me.